What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Now, China is out there saying that threats are not going to work as a solution for the North Korea nuclear crisis. And no, they're not. The more the U.S. threatens, the more they fly their airplanes and bombers close to North Korea, the more they sail their warships along North Korea's coastline, the faster and harder Kim Jong-un is going to work to finish that nuclear deterrent. Because he understands that is the only way he's going to save his nation from a U.S. intervention. As I said before, lesson learned from Iraq and from Syria and from Iran. Iraq surrendered all their chemical weapons, still got invaded. Syria surrendered all their chemical weapons, still trying to be invaded. Iran has agreed to the P5 plus one deal, and now Trump wants to throw it out and invade anyway. So there's the object lesson. It doesn't matter what weapons you give up. If the U.S. wants you to come in and take your country, they're going to come in and take your country. The only thing that's going to hold them off is if Kim Jong-un finishes his nuclear deterrent. And that's how he's thinking. Now, ultimately, in the long run, China will not pressure North Korea as much as Trump wants. And the reasons are manifold, partly because North Korea is an ally of China, has been for a very long time. That would be like some other country coming in and demanding Canada tell the United States to stop invading all these other countries. And again, there is that issue of face. The Chinese leadership do not want to be seen as errand boys for outsiders. So that's not going to work. Now, we have been talking about military waste, huge amounts of money that go for stuff that just does not work. We've been talking about the F-22, the F-35, Independence-class littoral combat ships, Freedom-class littoral combat ships, the Zumwalt stealth destroyer. And I think a good example of the sheer waste that's going on in the military is illustrated by this story that came out of Sputnik News. Emboldened by the increase in military spending, the Pentagon is already out there buying stuff here. And the Pentagon has just awarded General Dynamics Land Systems a $311 million contract to build seven M1A2 Abrams System Enhancement Package Variant 4 prototypes. What makes this interesting is the U.S. Army revealed it has not even accepted delivery of the prototypes for earlier versions. In other words, they're just ordering the stuff, and even before it's delivered, they're ordering the next one after that. Huge amounts of waste. You have to see it to believe it. I had a little exposure to it, both at my time in NASA and when I was working for Robert Abel, and we did that project for Martin Marietta, and it's just the scale of spending and how much money. It's a shock. It's going to be a shock to normal Americans. Normal American citizens, money for us is something coming out of an eyedropper. Maybe for a company or a corporation, it's a garden hose. In the military, they've got fire hoses, banks and banks of fire hoses. That's just how fast the money is coming and going. It's amazing. Now, the Senate's military spending increase, just the increase, not the whole budget, but just that increase, if it had been put into education, we would have free public college for every American citizen. But no. You will take out student loans and you will live your life in debt servitude because we got to spend the money on stuff that goes bang and kills people. Article out of The Hill, no less, talking about Rand Paul was trying to get an amendment to the NDAA to basically retract the ongoing congressional war authorization, saying that one congressional war authorization shouldn't last for decades. If you read the Constitution, when there is a war, Congress must approve it. If we're going to have a war with Iraq, there has to be a declaration of war by Congress. If we're going to have a war with Libya, there should be a separate declaration of war against Libya by the Congress. If we're going to go to war against Syria, there should be a separate declaration of war by the Congress for that. But all the way back in 2003, I think it was, George Bush got Congress to pass an authorization for the use of force for the president. And then to activate it, George Bush actually lied to the Congress, which made the whole mess illegal. He sent a letter of transmittal saying that Saddam Hussein was in possession of banned weapons of mass destruction, which turned out to be a lie, and was part of the group who carried out the 9/11 attacks, which even George Bush is on video saying Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. So it was a lie, which rendered the whole thing invalid. Fraud negates consent. And ever since then, every single war goes back to that authorization. It's just a blanket authorization, a blank check, if you will, carte blanche for more and more war. And Rand Paul is correct on this. We can't give the president a license to start wars at will, or we're going to find ourselves in endless wars, which is where we're going right now. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. One area that people ought to be looking at, and maybe this is the reason why they're pouring more forces and more money into both Syria and Afghanistan, not to necessarily win, but at least to pretend we're not losing. Because according to this article that came out of Club Orlov Blogspot up in Canada, a military defeat or a perceived military defeat could trigger the financial collapse of the United States of America. And this article basically draws a lot of parallels comparing the collapse of the Soviet Union to the coming collapse of the United States. And a big part of it was that huge amount of military spending by the Soviet government at the expense of their own nation. Now, our stock market, the one part of the stock market that's really doing well are those defense contracts. If there is a perceived military defeat, everybody's going to get cold feet and they're going to start bailing. And that could be the beginning of the end. Meanwhile, over at the Bank of International Settlements, they're warning now that the global debt bubble is now understated by $13 trillion, apparently because of the exclusion of foreign exchange derivatives used to hedge international trade and foreign currency bonds. In other words, the bookkeeping methodology isn't accurate, and we know those derivatives are a huge, huge sword of Damocles hanging over the world's economic system. Story coming out of Asia Times. Threats against China could result in another Great Depression. And they're talking about how U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin's threat of a trade war against China, if it doesn't get North Korea into line, it's not going to accomplish anything. But it could trigger a global economic tsunami. Much of the world is dependent on Chinese manufacturing. Much of the world now uses the yuan. Now, up in Illinois, as you know, last July, they narrowly avoided a junk bond rating with a last-minute budget deal that included a 32% increase in state income taxes. Republican Governor Bruce Rauner vetoed the budget and called it a disaster, but both houses of the state legislature voted to override his veto, so the tax increase went through. Meanwhile, Standard & Poor's and Moody's were apparently both convinced the budget deal was sufficient for the state to remain an investment-grade credit, and everybody lived happily ever after, at least for a couple of months, because now there's a new issue that's come on out. Apparently, up in Illinois, the unpaid vendor backlog has hit $16 billion. That means the state of Illinois owes $16 billion to the various suppliers of whatever it is the state is using. Tar for the road, office paper for the state capitol, $16 billion. So they're stiffing their own suppliers to try and keep the budget balanced, and that's obviously not a good solution. Over in San Francisco, and especially up there in Silicon Valley, everybody's been going crazy about housing prices, and where you basically have shacks, little more than a shack, the micro houses, you've seen those on TV, going for $1.5 million. And every time somebody signs up and says, yes, I'm going to buy one of those, the market goes crazy and says, see, the prices are supportable. But apparently a survey has found 83% of Bay Area renters plan to leave the area before settling down and starting their families. A lot of single people in San Francisco, but they're all just getting reamed on the rents there. And if 82% of them are getting ready to leave in order to buy a house and start a family, or even just rent a house and start a family, there's going to be a big, huge crash over there somewhere. Now, as you know, attempts to repeal, replace Obamacare are once again in the news. And everybody's saying every proposal put forward is basically Obamacare in a new wrapper. They're not changing anything fundamental. And according to the Wall Street Journal, the average cost of health coverage offered by employers pushed toward $19,000 for a family plan this year. In other words, the health plan now costs employers more than a new car. And at least with a new car, you get the car. With the health insurance plans, you don't really get much of anything because of those sky-high deductibles. People can be forgiven for thinking it's some kind of a giant scam. Now, over in Germany, as you know, we're coming up on the elections, which are this coming Sunday, as a matter of fact. And it is unfortunately, sadly expected that Angela Merkel's party is going to win. But it does look like the Alternative for Deutschland party is poised to become an influence in the parliament. And more than likely, there's going to be another grand coalition, because Merkel's party is not going to sweep enough parliament seats to have solid control. So they're going to have a new grand coalition government. It's going to be a much weakened coalition, and the AfD party is going to be the largest opposition party. So we're not getting the result that we would have liked to have seen, or the German people would have liked to have seen, because the German people want Merkel gone. They're fed up with all this nonsense. And there may be a surprise, because these are the official poll numbers coming out of Germany. And remember the official poll numbers from last year? Hillary is going to win. She's got 95%. There's no question. Trump shouldn't even show up election day. There could be an upset there as well. Now, yesterday, as it turns out, was the 70th birthday of the Central Intelligence Agency, or as I like to call them, the Cocaine Importation Agency. And so it is fitting that we would go back and look at some of the history of the Central Intelligence Agency and all the wonderful things that they have done, most especially the goofs. My favorite story about the CIA, of course, is part of that part of MKUltra, where they were out in San Francisco and they set up this sex and bondage parlor, and they hired hookers to lure men in, and they would use sex and LSD to try and find the magic formula that would get men to just reveal their deepest, darkest secrets. And it didn't work, as most government programs do, and ran for 9 years before they pulled the plug on this one. And along the way, all this testing of LSD as part of MKUltra, it introduced LSD to the hippies. That's where it came from, where all these kids were being tested on. They said, wow, that was interesting. What was that stuff? Well, it's LSD. Oh, good. Where can I get some? It's amazing. Now, one of the CIA's great failures was that in the late 1940s, the CIA agents and analysts came to the conclusion that a Soviet nuclear weapon would only show up in the early 1950s. It actually exploded in 1949. So they missed that one here a little bit. Then there was the Afghanistan fiasco, where the CIA had absolutely no indication that Soviets were going to intervene in Afghanistan in December of 1979. And it took the Carter administration completely by surprise. Now, the CIA was convinced that Moscow would not dare take a step. And the reason Moscow went in there was the government of Afghanistan ask them to come on in and deal with this rising insurgency of the Mujahideen, who were being used by the CIA to even back then destabilize the Afghan governments. Probably the biggest single embarrassment to the Central Intelligence Agency was Aldrich Ames. He was a Soviet mole, And he was basically just at the heart of everything. And he worked for the Soviet Union until the Soviet Union collapsed. Was the worst leakage in U.S. intelligence history. And they didn't even find out about it until after the Soviet Union had collapsed. And then they finally arrested him and they sentenced him to life in prison. Let's skip on down some of these other things here. The CIA failed to predict the collapse of the Soviet Union. Totally missed the boat on that one. Alrighty, now then, let's talk a little bit about political correctness, because it is a curse on our society. It is a curse on our society. So apparently, there was this infectious diseases expert who claims she was joking, Carol J. Baker, MD. This was back in May, but all of a sudden her comments are starting to attract attention. And she literally came on out and said that we'll just get rid of all the white people in the United States. And she said the reason for doing that was because the vast majority of people who were vaccine skeptics were white people. And she went on to say that the immigrants are superior people because they take all their vaccines. Which is a little bit out there here. I love this one. There was a criminology student, 22-year-old criminology student, and she accused a taxi driver of raping her after he refused to accept a kebab-soaked $10 note. So she wanted this lady, Sophie Point, wanted to be a police officer. She told police she'd been sexually assaulted in the back of the cab. And, of course, it was exposed. And so now this criminology student who wanted to be a police officer is now in prison for the next 16 months. Big Brother's definitely coming onto the college campuses. Professors told to report students who make campus less inclusive to the behavior assessment team. That's the new thought police, the new name of the thought police, the behavior assessment team. And as colleges across the country struggle with questions related to free speech on campuses, some schools are implementing policies that appear to give administrators significant latitude to discipline students for speaking in unpopular ways. Well, I'm an old-fashioned Bill of Rights kind of guy. Freedom of speech is absolute. Just because you're unpopular doesn't mean you have less of a right to say what you're going to say. A lot of the things that I say are very unpopular in certain sectors of our community, but I stand on my First Amendment right to say them. So apparently, over at Utah Valley University, they distributed a guidance letter to all faculty encouraging them to report to the school's behavior assessment team students who use inappropriate language, are argumentative, or who speak loudly. Argumentative, isn't that something you're supposed to be in a college or university environment as you debate each other? I mean, law classes, philosophy classes, you're going to be argumentative. It's unavoidable. What kind of college graduates are they cranking out of these universities if they're discouraged from discussing issues? The Speaker of the Texas House is calling for the removal of a Confederate plaque in the Capitol in Austin. This is Speaker Joe Strauss, Republican of San Antonio, said Tuesday that he sent a letter to the State Preservation Board to take down the Children of the Confederacy Creed plaque that hangs on the first floor. I am really getting very opposed to this because I'm in agreement with those people who are out there saying that the snowflakes aren't just trying to erase our history, they're trying to rewrite it. And that's very, very dangerous because you have to wonder what new history are they going to try and teach our kids in order to get them to go along with a certain political agenda. I find all this talk about getting rid of white people very, very annoying. We'll be right back after these few words.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And we were talking about this a little bit before, that the flooding that followed Hurricanes Harvey and Irma have torn open some toxic waste dump sites and just spread that stuff all over. And apparently, according to a story at Associated Press, an internal watchdog is saying that the Environmental Protection Agency is mismanaging the toxic site cleanups. And they're saying basically cleanups at some U.S. hazardous waste sites have stopped or slowed down because the Environmental Protection Agency is not managing its Superfund staff effectively to match the workload. And that sounds to me like basically they're slowing down and nobody's cracking the whip. Such work is at a standstill or moving slowly on at least four Superfund sites where human exposure is not under control. That means contamination at the sites is unsafe for humans, and there's a reasonable expectation that people may be exposed to it. This report comes as EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt has said the cleanup of more than 1,300 listed Superfund sites is a priority, and it really ought to be. Especially when you realize, they're, as these hurricanes demonstrate, they're not just going to sit there. You're going to have hurricanes, flooding, just leakage into the soil, into the groundwater. It is a huge mess out there. Now, getting into the world of computers, and there's a little bit of overlap here with the world of war, and all of a sudden, forget about Russian hackers. Forget about the Russian hackers. Now it's the Iranian hackers. We have to be afraid of the Iranian. Those evil Iranians, they're the danger now. So we're seeing this story, again, from Associated Press, where Iran group hacks aviation and petrochemical industries. A group of hackers suspected of working in Iran for its government is targeting the aviation and petrochemical industries in Saudi Arabia, the United States, and South Korea. How do they know? As we pointed out before, when they were screaming Russia, 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 the really expert cyber criminals, they'll compromise machines and have them strung out in a network 1,000 deep. All you really get at your server is the last server used to come into your system. And that could be anywhere on the earth. Another similar story, this is from the Daily Beast. Suspected Iranian hackers targeted U.S. Aerospace Center. This time the hackers were only conducting espionage via job recruiting links, but researchers worry the group, dubbed APT-33, has a capability to launch more destructive attacks. So now they're going to be out there. That group that was trying to fake the Russian hacking attacks, they've been retasked. Fake Iranian attacks. Fake Iranian attacks. You need to get on out there and just fake those Iranian attacks. We're getting another cautionary word here. This is from the Register out in Great Britain. As you know, today is the official debut of iOS 11. And the Register is out there saying you may want to hold off for a bit. Some of your existing apps are going to break, especially the 32-bit ones. And, of course, Apple has a history of always screwing up the first iteration of a new major update of their operating system. So there are going to be all kinds of problems here. I remember when iOS 10 came on out and devices were getting bricked. So we don't need to have the latest and greatest on our phone. Let's wait until it's stable, and then we'll use that. Unfortunately, the computer industry doesn't like that. They want you to buy new ones right now, and we don't care if they're unstable because we're indemnified from product liability, but we just have to find ways to make you buy new stuff. Somebody wrote on in, apparently Hewlett-Packard now actually has a subscription program for the ink cartridges, where you pay so much a month based on how many pages you expect to print. And they will automatically send you the new ink cartridges as you need them. And apparently you can roll your ink over, which obviously is going to be the case here. But again, this is a follow-on to the story about how the latest patch to the Hewlett-Packard printers will now prevent you from using a third-party ink cartridge. We'll be right back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what I please.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go to the phones. Alex in Florida. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, I never hear any commentator or any reporter asked Hillary Clinton about the server. I think that would solve the whole problem about her wanting to run again, and the death of Seth Rich. She says she wants to run again. Is she willing to get back?
That's not what she said. She said that she wants to get back into politics, but at this point, she's saying she is not going to run for president again. But you're right. That server is at the heart of everything that was going on with Hillary Clinton during her time at the State Department, and it really should be looked at. But I think the reason that everybody is ignoring it is they understand if my theory is correct as to what Hillary was doing with that server, that's a scandal that would bring down the entire government. And that's why everybody's out there, oh, we're going to go after Donald Trump. Pay no attention to that server inside the bathroom in that office here. We're going to go after Donald Trump here.
Well, I heard, and I heard this secondhand information, but I heard she was saying if something comes out of the Russian probe that she wants a re-election. That's what I heard.
Well, Yeah, no, she doesn't want a re-election. She wants to invalidate or reverse the last election. I don't think she'd take the chance of having a new election. Because first of all, it'd be hideously expensive to organize and put together. But Hillary is already aware the American people don't want to vote her into that Oval Office. And so the last thing she wants is a new election. She has stated she wants to delegitimize last year's election. And I guess at that point, she would try and file a lawsuit saying that she is the rightful president of the United States of America. But no way will she trust her future to the ballot box ever again.
Yeah, and it's not only that. It's even the voters' roles in all the different states. I mean, there's so many things that are just it's not normal to have, like, some of the counties, I believe in California, 144% more votes registered than there was actually registered voters.
I mean, yeah, we saw a lot of that. I mean, we've got this situation up there in New Hampshire where apparently something like 6,000 people from Massachusetts drove up into New Hampshire and took advantage of the same-day registration law, showed their Massachusetts driver's license, said, we just moved here, I want to register to vote, and they voted for Hillary. And then in a subsequent follow-up, it was discovered none of these people had applied for a New Hampshire driver's license, meaning that they had not actually moved to New Hampshire. And I'm glad that Trump's Election Integrity Commission is looking at this information. But again, we're not likely to see the corporate media report on any of this because they are part of the problem, being that they are tied up with that voters news service where all the fakery is taking place.
That's right. The same press, they're the same people that told us Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. They're the ones that told us, like the little girl in Libya that said that during the first Iraq war that the Iraqis were taking kids off of the incubators and infants off the incubators in the hospital wards in Iraq, and that, on and on. They're the biggest liars on the face of the earth.
Well, of course they are.
None of it's questioned. They have never questioned any of the stories that come from the CIA. And you would think
they're still pushing the Russian Trump collusion narrative, even though there's no evidence for it. They're still pushing the Russia hacked the DNC emails narrative, even though the evidence is clearly that it was an internal leak, most likely through Seth Rich. They're not interested in the facts. They're out there to, as George Bush said, catapult that propaganda forward and get you all bamboozled to go along with what the government wants you to be doing. Because that's how the government has been ruling the people for decade after decade after decade, lies, fraud, and deception. And we in the independent media have taken that away from them. And that's why they're so upset with us.
Yeah. Now, Michael, I hope I'm not wrong, but I think Trump's just having to say what he has to say to get, I think that, like you say, I think we're at our collapse, and I think he recognizes that. He's basically saying what he has to say as far as North Korea and all this stuff. I'm hoping that his actions will be that of what he campaigned on.
Well, I'd like to see it, but I don't think we're going to. And again, we don't know. One thing we do know is that information flow to the president is tightly under the control of Chief of Staff John Kelly. We know that Trump's advisors, like the head of the CIA, are lying to him. So they're crafting a matrix around him where Trump may feel there is no choice but to go forward with attacking North Korea or attacking Iran or so forth and so on. And yes, a lot of his backers and supporters are very much on the war party as well. Trump is obviously buddy-buddy with Netanyahu, is not interested in talking to anybody from Iran. And that, of course, again, the U.S. used to pretend that it was an objective, fair, unbiased arbitrator among the Middle Eastern nations, and now that has vanished since 9/11.
That's right. And I must say that I actually used the F-bomb when I heard him talking about blowing North Korea off the map or whatever it was that he said. I mean, that's ridiculous. It was reminding me of Obama talking a bunch of nonsense. And Obama never went that deep. His actions were that deep, or real doggone close to it. But some of his TPP campaigning and just on and on, acting like the press is true and fair, is a joke.
Well, that's what they have to do. I mean, they're basically stuck with it. They've created this this image of an infallible government and a truthful media, and they have to stick with it. They can never, ever admit that they have ever lied to us, or it's all going to unravel. And so they're feeling kind of stuck, and you can almost get a sense of panic coming out of that deep state where they know they're losing control. And they don't know what to do about it. And so they're on the attack against alternative social media like Gab. They're on the attack against activists. They're on the attack against the servers of websites like mine. There's every dirty trick they can think of because they think it's their divine right. The goal is always to remain in control, to remain in power. That's the highest priority of any ruling body, is to maintain control and stay in power. And everything else is subordinate to that.
That's right. So I have relatives that live in Puerto Rico. I think that's a pretty bad storm that went through there.
That is
a lot of bad times right now, real tough times.
It's going to be a few days before we actually find out how bad it is down there. But again, the expectation was they had not even recovered from the last storm. This one hit them head on. And they're saying that Puerto Rico, it could be totally without power, and it could be months before they get it back.
Yeah, and I was watching videos in the street, and I mean, it looks like rivers just going through some of the streets there. It looks bad, real bad. They say that basically every infrastructure has been damaged somewhat, some of them more severe, some of them just a little bit, but basically every building has been damaged. So our prayers have to go out for them. I'll tell you what, I can only imagine what that would be like.
Well, we hope the best for them. And again, I'm a little curious about how the Arecibo radio telescope fared in these storms. I hope it's still intact, but China just finished building a new one just like it, only twice as large. It's just absolutely gigantic. That they just put into operation out there in China. They're doing amazing stuff over in China. Anyway, Alex, thank you very much. We're going to let you go.
Michael, I want one more question. You can just answer it. I'll get off the phone. Do you think that we landed on the moon? Do you think we actually sent someone to the moon and astronauts got off and got on the moon?
Yes, we absolutely did. And no question about that. And I'll give you a good example. I mean, no, I'm not going to respond to this because, again, this campaign of kookification against the independent media is really ramping up. I got an email saying, there was no civil war. The slaves came here of their own free will. I mean, come on, guys, get out of here. One of the jobs that I had at JPL was analyzing lunar rock brought back by Apollo 12, as well as pieces of the Surveyor 3 that they'd clipped off when they were there. Now, why would they bother paying me to do that if it was all a fake? I mean, really, it just doesn't make any sense. Then you have the laser ranging retroreflectors. And the fact, and I know this because I worked on the lunar samples, the samples returned from the moon are different significantly than Earth rock. It is slightly different. Anyway, Alex, going to let you go. And we're going to switch over to Ralph in New York. Aloha, Ralph. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Mike. How you doing? I want to ask you a hypothetical question concerning the real estate market versus what just happened recently in South Florida with the hurricanes and the disasters that are happening in the Caribbean. And you see a lot of flourishing of migrants coming from those states, coming to be happy in New York and also California. Do you think the bubble is going to happen here in the inner cities like Chicago, New York, or the major outcomes when this fall happens, or is it just booming for landlords and property owners here for the condos here? What's your opinion on this one?
Generally, in the wake of a major disaster like this, property values are forced down because it isn't just the fact that there may not even be a house sitting on the property. It's going to definitely need repair or renovation, as well as the quality of life around the house has obviously deteriorated as well. There are going to be businesses that are no longer in business. Real estate values are calculated not just on the basis of the land and the building, but what is around there in terms of conveniences and things that the home buyer are going to want to avail themselves of. So the general history has always been that these disasters will depress housing prices for a few years. And, you know, for people who have that kind of flexibility, time to maybe go on in and buy at the floor and ride it on the way up. But the problem with all the refugees and everything coming in from places like the Caribbean, they have nothing to buy a house with. A lot of these people, and not just in the Caribbean, even across Texas and Florida, the survivors literally are left with absolutely nothing. And that's,
exactly,
again, an issue that we all need to be dealing with, I think, long before we go after Iran and North Korea. We got to be taking care of our own American people.
Now, even though Donald Trump was a former real estate guy here in New York, what do you think the Chinese are going to basically unflush all this massive real estate they've been buying up here now and dump the U.S. dollar? Is that part of it also?
Well, China has slowed their buying of U.S. properties because they recognize that it is in a bubble, and a lot of people are very concerned that if the U.S. carries through with more sanctions against China, the sanctions will include a ban on buying American property. And so that has kind of slowed down as well. But we already know that a lot of countries, not just China, want to drop the dollar because they don't see it as trustworthy or reliable for the future. They're all looking at the indications there's going to be a major drop in the U.S. economy, and they don't want to be the ones, you know, left holding that dollar when the music stops.
So you're saying we're on that trend right now, the way things are going right now?
I think we are seeing we're going to see a drag down on the real estate markets everywhere where the storms hit, and even if there was no damage. New home buyers tend to stay away from places that have recently had a disaster because of their concern that it could happen again.
Exactly.
Usually you'll find real estate prices going up after it's been a while, and people sort of think of these things like hurricanes and earthquakes as an abstraction until the next reminder.
Yeah.
So I think overall, yeah, we're going to see a decline in the real estate market in those hurricane-hit areas. This, in turn, may drive a slight increase in real estate prices in those parts of the countries that are perceived to be safer places to live.
Now, one question, I mean, you see, like, for example, I read the New York Times, and I read this in the Sunday section of the New York Times. I see like 20 to 30 pages of property for sale all over like, near the New York area. You see like condos, apartment buildings. I say, wait a minute, the smart ones are trying to sell before they know the coming crash is coming, right? Do you know this is part of it also, or is it just basically just going to let it go?
Well, unfortunately, we're starting to see a repeat of the 2008 real estate frothing, where people are buying a property and then they'll hold it for a few days or a few weeks, and then they're trying to sell it, you know, at a profit. The question is, how many of them are actually succeeding in finding customers, or are we going to see another 2008 pop of the housing bubble again? And I think we're getting close on that. Everything's bubbled up right now. There's a new mortgage housing bubble that's out there, student loan bubble. It's all bubble everywhere that you go. The entire economy is running on bubbles right now.
And the millennials are basically feeling the effect more than anybody else, right?
Well, the millennials, it depends. The ones with the college degrees that are not getting them a high-paying job, because of their student loans, they're actually not getting into the real estate market. And that has to be a factor where you realize that at the moment, it should be a seller's market, but they're still acting like it's a buyer's market. And that may lead to a stall of the entire system. It's not that these young millennials don't want to buy a home. It's just that they literally cannot. And so at some point, you're going to the upward cycle has to break.
Wow. Obviously, I mean, everyone's kind of curious between what's the difference between Obama and Trump concerning this market. Everyone's curious about that. You know, what's your opinion concerning Trump versus Obama involving the real estate market? Do you see any trends between both of them, or are they both actually in the same pattern?
Well, it's not really that much of a pattern. I don't think Obama, in fact, I don't even think going all the way back to George W. Bush, they're really able to do much of anything other than prop up the stock market to use as a political banner. I think our entire economy has spun out of control, not only of the government, but of Wall Street itself. And everybody's just kind of hanging on for the ride and hoping that their golden parachutes are going to open when it all starts to come apart.
Wow. Okay, then. All right, Mike, thank you very much, and thank you.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. So we already talked about the new iOS 11 and why you probably ought to take a little bit of a break before you update to that. We're going to take a break for commercials. We're going to come on back. More news about the world of computers.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go to the phones here. Don in Iowa, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, Mike, yeah, you're talking about the political correctness where people can't say what's on their mind anymore. It always makes me think when I was a kid growing up, and there was one thing that everybody always told us, and I remember this and I used it because it worked. The teachers would tell you, all the grown-ups would tell you the same thing. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me.
And, it's sound wisdom. You know, we all had thick skins back there, but, you know, the liberals are pushing this culture of victimhood, and if they can't find enough victims, then they invent new offenses, microaggressions, triggering moments. And it's created a nation of whiners who are just absolutely, they're thrown into a tizzy by the least little thing. And we're going to grab these kids and march them off into a world war? I don't think so.
Yeah, the kids are totally screwed up now. Most of
them. Yes, they are.
As far as the wartime deal, I'm kind of like you. I was for Bernie Sanders first, and I actually donated $9. I remember to Bernie, but then after he lost, then I was for Trump because I thought they had something in common. They were both. Trump did kill the TPP. The first thing he did when he got elected, killed the TPP, which was going to go down anyway. But Bernie would have gone farther. I think he would have tried to get aggressive with Wall Street and actually throw some guys in jail. And also, I believe he would have tried to push for, I don't know if he would have been able to push against the Pentagon, because a lot of them have high ideas when they get in there. And they end up just knuckling under to the Pentagon.
Yeah, I think that's the reality there, is that Bernie Sanders would have been brought to heel just the way that Donald Trump was. They wouldn't have needed to bring Hillary Clinton to heel because she's fully on board already with all of these agendas, endless war and, you know, open borders and the one world order and the rest of it. So, I don't think Bernie would have been doing any better than Donald Trump is right now. And Donald Trump's done a few things I really like. I like his focus on NASA. He certainly made a strong start regarding immigration, but he seems to be backing off on that now.
Well, maybe you could run for senator over there in Hawaii, Mike. You probably, lack of funding would be one of your obstacles, but I got a way around that. What you do is just, it's a bunch of islands, so when it's time to go to the next island, just swim. And that way you get a lot of press coverage that way.
At my age, I don't think I would make it. And there are sharks out there. So thank you, but I think I'm going to take a pass on that suggestion.
Okay, I'll take it easy. Take it easy, Mike.
I appreciate the thought. I appreciate the thought there. I mean, I did have my joke campaign last year. You know, Rivero, 2016, he could hardly do any worse. And no, I couldn't here. But again, on Trump's positive side of the ledger, I do like the fact that he's pushing for more money for NASA and retasking them. He's pulling them away from all this global warming nonsense and trying to get them to sort of regain lead or at least parity in the space race. We'll be right back.
Question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.